Welcome to Finally Alive Radio with pastoral counselor Gary Harris. To find out more, please go to finallyaliveradio.com.
Okay, so we are talking about conflict. Just keep going with this subject, see how far it goes. But we're just looking at different places in the Bible and different conflicts in the Bible. It's just not going to be exegetical, but we're looking at the lessons that are in here, just that from the aspect of the conflict. So really quick recap, unhealthy types of conflict, ungodly and godly kinds of conflict. Unhealthy, of course, is just going to be abusive on the abusive side, reactionary, lack of any type of acceptance or understanding, emotions-based, absolute selfishness. It's going to be very prideful. That's going to be all the unhealthy stuff. And tends to be all extreme. And the other side would be the healthy, the godly side. Disagreements, arguments, totally normal. Transitions, just part of life, part of life's conflict. They're just going to happen. Loss, defeat, all part of life. Logic, facts. Those are going to be the main things that you're going to see on the healthy side to be able to deal with the issue. And this is the most important thing, I think, between the two is the healthy or the godly will always have a resolution, always, where the unhealthy doesn't necessarily have a resolution. It's usually just destroy it and leave it at that. So if you want to call that a resolution, I guess you could, but then that's more destruction than any type of resolution. But that's, you know, another thought there. But the healthy side is always going to have a sense of humbleness, because there's always going to be the sense of growth or something of that sort. So you need to be humble to be able to grow. I think that's an important piece. Just a thought off top of my head right now. I can see even when Jesus talks about if you're not like these children, you know, talking about, you know, do you guys remember the story there? If you're not like these children, right? I think that's an important piece. The children, they're going to have a curiosity naturally and a sense of humbleness, because they're going to tend to listen to an adult, all right? And I don't know about today's generation. It's a little bit different, but that's something else we can talk about another time. But let's go to Genesis. So the quick recap for you guys. Going to Genesis 8, verse 14. So this is going to be obviously after the flood, all the stuff has happened, and we continue from there, right? So they're off the ark, okay? In fact, I think they're about to go off the ark right now. So 8:14, in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth had dried out. Then God said to Noah, go out from the ark, you and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing, that is, with you of all flesh, birds, animals, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Okay, so here we are off of the boat, and this is an important piece. You're always going to see this in life. So now we're talking about aspects of conflict. We just went through the chaos period, and now we are going into an order period. And life will always have both, and you will go through both. And here's your conflict aspect. You're just going to have both. It's just part of life. All right. Avoiding the chaos, sometimes it works, but not always. We have to be careful with that. I think that's tricky. You can try to avoid some conflict. That might be wise. Again, it's a case by case. But there are some conflicts that you have to deal with. Some of them you won't even choose. You'll have to go down that alley. I see this often with cases where, you know, the couple is getting divorced. Hey, they left me or whatever the case. And of course they're grieving. Well, that's chaos. You know, your mind is all over the place. Your life is all over the place, but you have no choice. You've got to deal with it. You could stand still, but it's not going to help you anymore. In fact, that will cause more chaos. And that's what's interesting about this is you've got to deal with the chaos. You've got to deal with your conflict. If you don't, it can get worse. Of course, if you haven't gotten it yet, obviously is deal with the chaos, deal with your conflict, deal with your issues. Well, I mean, because we're going to see a lot of cycles today. So we'll put this in a cycle kind of frame in a minute here. So thinking of them, thinking of Noah, thinking of his family, thinking of, you know, everyone on the ark, what do you think they're thinking? Remember, we were kind of trying to do this last week. What are they thinking? Everything that they know is no longer there. Okay, the Walmart down the street is no longer Walmart. Okay, it's just maybe a bunch of walls and ruined, right? Imagine you get off of the spaceship. Let's go 2018. You get off your spaceship, you come down, and what the heck? It's a mess. It's an absolute mess. My friends, my neighbors, oh, thank God that one's not here, but oh, man, I missed that one. You're going to deal with that, right? So I'm trying to put some, you know, flesh and bone to it. Put yourself in their shoes in a sense, right? This is what they're coming off of the ark to, all right? But what do you do with your own chaos? Because some of your own chaos will have that. You know, we kind of talked about that. You're going to lose things. Part of conflict. You will lose people. You will lose friends. Especially being a Christian, you're going to lose people in life. You will believe things that your other Christian friends don't believe. And what happens? All of a sudden, you're the enemy or something of that sort. That's probably too extreme, but not always. I lost a lot of friends during the elections. Oh my gosh, I didn't realize how emotional I got. I mean, after the fact, I realized it, but it's like, geez, I got unfriended a lot. I didn't realize it. So it is what it is. And maybe that's because of what I said or what they believed or just simply that they didn't like who was elected. It is what it is. But that's just part of life, part of life. The other aspect is through our chaos, we have to realize sometimes we're not going to make it out whole because there is this balance, right? The chaos and then to order. So if you go through your chaos and you finally get to the order, is there any guarantees you're going to come back whole? You might come back, you know, missing pieces, missing people, missing things, missing whatever the case. I think that's got to be part of the equation in our minds. And so we have to think of these things, looking at Noah, what he's experiencing. Now, the more important thing than all that is we're looking at God's perspective here too a little bit. What does God give them for the case of Noah? Let's go to Genesis 6:17. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Now, we obviously know the rest of the story, but God makes a promise. In fact, he creates a covenant. That's a very, very good word there. We'll put the word covenant there. And God's famous for covenants, isn't he? We have to realize that through all the hell, all the chaos that we will go through, there's always a covenant, and we're under a covenant. Right there it is. Noah was under a covenant. Abraham, covenant. Moses, covenant, yes. Adam and Eve, yeah, they got something, right? Be fruitful and multiply. Go handle this stuff. I mean, covenant comes after the animal is cut, right? Covenant all the way through. What's your covenant? Let's go to Hebrews 8. It's totally sidetracking, but let's just go there. Acknowledge the chaos and the order, okay? That's, I guess, the part of the theme today. Acknowledge that there's chaos and that there's order, but do not allow the chaos to throw you off because you are a person who is under covenant. Hebrews 8, verse 6. So Noah had his covenant, this is ours. But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. For if that first covenant, the one under with Moses, had been faultless, and why, let me finish the sentence, but let me ask you a question. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. And I love how he says that. Why does he say, for if that first covenant had been faultless, meaning that there was fault? Are you saying that God made a faulty laws? No. The issue is that you had to take care of the law. You had to walk the law. The problem is your hand was in it. And if your hand is in it, if my hand is in it, it's faulty. So it wasn't the law that was faulty. It was us that had to walk the law. And what did Jesus do? He walked the law perfectly, right? We all agree? So there's your fault. It was faulty, not that the law was faulty, but the fault is that you had to walk it. For he finds fault with them when he says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I had made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant. There's your fault. There's your problem, because they cannot continue in the covenant. Man cannot walk in that kind of covenant. Man cannot be perfect. There's news for you, right? Yeah, right. That's not news. That's old news. Man is not perfect. For this is the covenant, verse 10, that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You know, that's all God has wanted from the beginning. He just wanted that. You to trust him. You to be his people. Us to be his people. Verse 11, And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, for the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful toward them their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. There's only one way that's possible, by the way, right? Verse 13, in speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete, And what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Old versus a new covenant. You and I are under a new covenant. Regardless of the chaos that you are going to go through or going through, all of the above, you are under a new covenant. Just like Noah got a covenant, right? A promise. You are under that covenant. Let's keep reading. Let's go to chapter 9, verse 13, just to kind of get to the point with some of this. Hebrews 9:13 says, "For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant." That is a covenant you and I are under. "So that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant." Do not forget your covenant, guys. Let's go back to Noah in our minds here. How else can you not lose your mind? Because when you come off your metaphorical arc in life, right? When you come out of your chaos, you look around, there's casualty, all right? Whatever the casualty is, how do you not lose your mind? You have to have the right focus. You have to be connected to the right one, or else you will lose your mind. Because you're going to look around and say, oh my gosh, I can't believe I lost so much. That's a problem. That is a huge problem. Let's go back to Genesis 8 and let me tell you why. Because, I mean, we don't read this part, but I mean, when you start to put flesh and blood, it's like, how did he not lose his mind? How did he not like wail and cry, at least that it says in the text, you know, about his family or someone that he loved? And why don't we get any verbiage like that at all? I don't know if you guys have thought about that. In Genesis chapter 8, so I think we stopped at 19, right? So we'll go to verse 20. It says, "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar." That's how you don't lose your mind. You have to know who to worship. Clearly, Noah knew. You think about this. You come off of your ark. You're looking around. There's got to be casualty, trash, all kinds of just everything, right? Just everything. In the midst of all that, you've got to build your altar. You've got to get to that sacrifice. That's the first thing I think it talks about. He comes off, get off the boat, right? That's what God says. Get off the boat, get your family off the boat. And he gives an offering. That's how you don't lose your mind. What does that mean? Well, what about what I need? What about he's coming off the boat? Doesn't he need to eat food? What does food matter if you don't know who to worship? What does anything matter? What does a business matter? What kind of business is he going to make? With no economy, with nobody there, what's he going to sell? What's he going to do? And maybe that's a type of mindset that we should have is at the end when there's nothing left, when there's no one left, when everyone has sold me out. Let's just go to an extreme. What will you have left? Who will you have left? Let's say everyone on this planet backstabbed you. I'm going to an extreme. I'm not saying that's going to happen. What will you have left? You have God left. There's a covenant that will not end, in our case, as Christians. You better hold on to that with everything you've got. And that sacrifice better come from you and me. Because this is the most important thing. I mean, think about it. This is Noah coming off chaos, walking into, well, not order yet, but it's still chaotic. First thing that is offered up, what? Sacrifice. Very important. Verse 21, "And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, and the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done." It's amazing what God will do when you're willing to sacrifice everything. I mean, literally, I mean, in many forms, right? For Noah, I mean, he literally sacrificed his life. And then on top of that, he's not done sacrificing. He sacrifices, you know, the clean animals. I mean, talk about sacrificing everything and then everything again. That says a lot. I hope that we can have a heart. And that's a big hope, big request. But it's not for anybody but God. But that's who we have to be living for. Because we are a covenant people. We're God's people. We have a covenant that we just read through Christ. That's how you don't lose your mind, by the way. That's how you stay sane when all the hell's happening around you. Sacrifice. Let's go to Genesis chapter 9. And I forgot to mention this. Another thing that won't that'll help you not lose your mind. Well, in fact, let me ask you, how else could he offer a sacrifice unless he can see an eternal picture? And maybe not to the degree that we see it. Obviously, we have Christ. But if he's understanding to whatever degree he understood God, he understands that there's something bigger than him. In our case, we understand there's an eternal aspect. That's how you don't lose your mind. You have to keep your focus on God. If I keep my focus on God, I have to see the attempt to see the whole picture, or at least trust, faith in God, that He sees the whole picture. I got to trust in Him. That's how you don't lose it. That's how you don't lose it in life. Because stuff around me is falling apart. But I know this isn't everything. This isn't life. This is just the moment. This is just the chaos I'm going through today. We all go through chaos, right? Yes? I'm not the only one. We all go through chaos. But do not get so stuck in that moment. Because that's how we live, right? Moment to moment. When's my next food? When am I going to eat again? And what am I doing next? That's how we think. I mean, we're just very, you know, what's in front of me? Oh, good, bad, you know, whatever. But God's perspective isn't like that. He says, oh, the entire thing. That's how you can give a sacrifice. Let's be real. Can we be real? When you give a sacrifice, when you give an offering, don't tell me sometimes you're like, oh, God, I could really use this right now. I could really use this money, or whatever the case, or, you know, something happened, or, man, I could have really used it. But here you are sacrificing, praise God. How can you do that? Because, one, you know who to give it to. You know God. You trust God. You have faith in God. But you've also got to have an eternal view, eternal perspective. I think that's very important. That's how you don't lose your mind, and that's how you can do a sacrifice or give a sacrifice. You've got to trust God to be able to see, to be able to get His eternal view. All right, Genesis 9, you guys there? I had to throw that in there for you guys. Genesis 9, I'm going to go to verse 1. God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." Here is the aspect of order again. We just came out of the shambles of chaos, and now order is coming back. "The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground, of all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I give you the green plants, I give you everything." Think about what he's telling them. Getting some new rules. Maybe some adjusted rules. Maybe some of the same rules, right? Or maybe a little bit of an addition to some of the rules. We talked about this a while back when we were talking about the food laws, if you remember that. So I don't want to go too far into it. But think about it. We're laying out some new rules. Why do we need new rules in this case? Well, it's a new type of civilization, right? So let's start our cycle here. We saw the chaos happen. The first thing we saw was Noah acknowledging, shall we say, understanding. Remember conflict? The conflict resolution there? Understanding, and really, which brought him to the sacrifice. That was the first thing we saw. And then, obviously, we have the aspect back to order here. And then we'll probably get back to chaos eventually, right? If you know the rest of the story, you know it does. But that's a simple cycle for you of life. There you go. You get into a place of order. I guess we can put in here, I'm just thinking of this off the top of my head right now, but a type of falling away, not coincidentally to connect to the future. I just thought of that right now, but there's got to be some sort of falling away, forgetting something of that sort, right? To come back to chaos. How else would you go back to chaos if we already have the order? There's got to be something that goes off the wheels or something, right? But the cycle will continue. But now we're in the order, okay? Who's it? God giving them order. Here's some rules. Here's some things to live by. This is what you do now. Why do you need rules? Why does he give them a law? How else do you have order? Okay, so this is an important piece. We'll call it laws, rules. Let's even put boundaries. All of these are very important. All of these are necessary to live by. I mean, we all live by laws, whether you like it or not. Law of gravity, that's all I got to say. All right, you live by it, whether you like it or not. Okay, every moving thing, that's where we were. Verse 4, "But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood." That's interesting. What's that got to do with anything? I don't know if there's any health reasons for that. And we didn't talk about this when we were talking about the food laws. I don't remember if there is. But it's an interesting connection to Christ and exactly what Jesus spilled, his life. So it just is an interesting thought there. Verse 5, "And for your lifeblood, I will require a reckoning from every beast. I will require it, and from men. From his fellow man, I will require a reckoning for the life of man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image." And we talked about that a while back too. Rules, laws, right? And what is he doing? He's giving you a boundary. Okay, look, stay within these boundaries. Why? So we can keep the order. All right, we have to keep order in life so we can continue. If you want to flourish, you want to do well, there's got to be order. There's no way around that. Verse 7, and you be fruitful and multiply, increase greatly on the earth and multiply in it. So similar to what Adam and Eve got. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you. God is great at covenants. He's big on covenants. Why? Back to rules. Back to order. That's how life works. Everything in life works based on covenants. Everything. Do you realize that there's our relationship right now as I'm speaking has a type of covenant to it? When you date or get married or friendships, they all have a type of covenant. Now, the marriage one is very official, right? It's done in front of people. There's actually paperwork now, right? So that's very very official. Ours is kind of unofficial. There is a type of a boundary, right? There's certain things that we're abiding by even right now. You're being quiet and listening. I'm speaking. But guess what? When I sit down, it's the other way around, right? I sit down and I listen. It's the same idea. So there are these rules of engagement, if you will. You can call it that. Again, boundaries. They're just rules. They're just life. It's just the way it is. How else would we be able to do church without those types of boundaries, rules? You guys understand. Verse 11, I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud that shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. So here's some more covenant stuff. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. So new rules, new covenants he's establishing. Did Noah ask for this kind of a covenant? No. No, he didn't. This is all on God's terms, God's rules, God's way of looking at the situation. He chooses not to do that again. Could he have said, I can do it again? Yeah, he can. What an unfair God. Who are you to say? You're not God. Neither am I. So what he says goes. All right, when the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember, encircle the word remember, the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant. In fact, if you're like me, I circle the word covenant every time, and I don't know if I think I counted like 6 or 7, something like that. So he says the word covenant quite a bit in these last couple of verses here. God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. So covenant, 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 covenant. How many covenants are there? Jeez. Why? It's the only way to have order in life. So let's look at a healthy system. I'll write down some couple of things here. So we'll call this conflict prevention, all right? How do you prevent a conflict, or how do you prevent chaos to the best of our abilities? It's never going to work perfectly. Why? Because we're human, we're on earth, and there's always imperfections, okay? But here's a conflict prevention. Okay, number one, we need direction, which gives us the order. Number one, if you don't have any kind of direction, where are you going? So, can't do much without a direction. You need direction. Number one, order is where the rules, the boundaries, all of that happens, okay? So, covenant, that's all going to be, under that. We need, then, if you will, the order giver. Call it the boss, call it... whatever you want to call it the president, not the president, but like a king in that sense. But that's another situation. At work, you need someone who gives the orders, right? How do you get the orders? You've already got some sort of direction you're going, right? Does that make sense? So there's got to be order, right? One who brings the order. When you have the order giver, those who carry out, kind of probably made this a lot shorter. Those who carry out the order. You can have all the bosses you want, but if there's no one who's going to receive or take the order, we're not going anywhere very fast. So what do we have here? We have direction, the order giver, the receiver, and then we need the cycle. And I'm going to call this a cycle. Let me tell you what I mean by this. Cycle, and I'll call it cycling back. And really what this is a memorial, something to remember, remembrance. I think to the best of my abilities, just off, just thinking out loud, I guess, this is how you can really probably prevent the conflict, generally speaking. Now, it's never going to be perfect. But if we have the right direction, okay, and that's obviously always going to be God's direction, you'll have your order. You're going to get your direction. You're going to, in our case, we understand our law. Law is through Christ, right? The redemption through Christ. But now we need the order giver. Now, obviously, in the big picture, that would be God. Okay, that's he is the order giver, but he's already got the direction. So his rules are going to be a little bit different. But let's go human, all right? Order giver, or the one who receives, you know, the order. It could be the pastor. It could be the boss. It could be the husband. I hope you guys can see the what's going on here. All of this is based on order. Someone who has to receive the order. In church, it's the congregants. At home, the wife, the children. Does it make them any less? Not necessarily. It's not about less, but it's just the way the order goes. And it's very hard to have two order givers. If the husband and the wife are the giving orders at the exact same amount, that is how you get back to conflict. You need to have generally one order giver, or at least one head. Let's put it that way. That's probably a better term. But if they're both giving orders, it's going to be a problem. I'll give you a good example. The child says, I want candy. Dad says, no, you can't have candy. Kid goes to the mom and says, I want candy. Okay, sure. Ask your dad, but yeah, go and have the candy. Oh, mom said I can have the candy. I just said no. I'll say it this way. If she's not willing to be submissive to the order that he gave, well, good luck with that one. That's going to cause a lot of conflict already. And we're already back to conflict. You guys see that? So conflict prevention. That doesn't mean she can't say or she can't disagree. I'm not saying that. But if we cannot deal with a conflict, and if we cannot have someone who can say that, have the final say, I think that's what it comes down to, the final say. Because I want to make that clear. I'm not against the disagreements. Remember, that is under the healthy category. We can have disagreements because I can be wrong as the husband. But there has to be someone who has the final say. That's just the way it is. And I'll give you a better example. If oh man, this is totally extreme. And you know, we're just going hypothetical here. Someone breaks into my house. I'm gonna grab the things to prevent anything bad to happen. And I will make the final decision on what happens with that weapon. Will she do it? No, probably not. Not that she can't, but no, I will volunteer and I will do it because I'm the head of the household and it's part of my responsibility. But that's also the responsibility if you want to be the order giver. That's just what happens, how that works. So there's pros and cons, but if you're going to be the order giver, then you better be willing to, again, extreme case, take life, okay? So our final piece there, the cycle back, that's an important piece. And it's kind of like, what do you mean cycle back? We need a memorial. We need something of a remembrance because it's so easy to forget. So we need something to remind us. In our case, we come to church. We remember often. We come back. What do we do every week? It's a lighthouse, the same message over and over. We cannot have without it. Why do you think we do communion? Remembrance, memorial. What happened here with Noah? We just read it. What is the bow? The rainbow. They had a remembrance. Whenever I see that bow, I will remember that and I will remember what happened. You will have a memorial. You will have a remembrance. Oh, I remember what happened. Tell all the kids. Remember, whenever you see the bow, here's the story to that. Let me tell you about this. There was a time it was chaotic here and God took care of it. And he brought order back. I'm not saying that they said it that way, but you get the picture. You need something to bring you back to remembrance. Otherwise, you lose direction. You lose order, obviously. And then good luck with the order giver because then they're going to go in the wrong direction anyway. So who cares about what kind of order giver you might have? But I hope you can see, this is a general idea, but you can see this happening in government. You know, you need direction. What do we have as direction? Well, you know, Constitution. Start there. So direction, right? We have order, the laws, you know, all the different things that we have. Someone has to give the orders, right? And then you can go down the row of different commands, right? Someone has to receive the orders. You know, that's us. But then we do need a memorial, whether it's a ticket, whether it's whatever the case, you know, we need a memorial or else we forget. Schools, you know, they teach to a degree, I think. Ugh, I don't know if they do still, but some of the rules, some of the Constitution. Do they even teach the Constitution anymore? I don't know. That's a question to ask maybe my kids. And that's a perfect example. If the kids don't even know the Constitution, what direction are they going to go? They don't even know what this place is about. They live in this great country, and they, you know, I wonder if they just think it's all about iPads and I don't know, Paw Patrol, you know, whatever's on TV. So be aware of this. We will all go through our chaos, and you will come back to order. It's just part of life, and every season of life will be different. Sometimes the chaos is bigger, sometimes it's smaller, but it's like chaos, order. It's just going to happen, okay? Sometimes it's a big chaos, and then it'll come back to order. But generally, this is your cycle here. Chaos, there must be an acknowledgement, understanding, whatever the case is, a sacrifice in that cycle. Order comes, but then there is generally a falling away, whether that was you, or them, or it, or whatever the case. So you'll just see this in life. But do not be afraid of chaos, just like Noah. Do not be afraid. I don't see him trembling. It doesn't say he was trembling. It doesn't say he was worried about it. The guy builds the ark, goes on, comes off, and then gives another sacrifice. Man, that's definitely when God calls him a righteous person. Wow, that's definitely a righteous person. Our righteousness comes through Jesus, and all we must do is remember that. Just remember that, and the direction will generally be good. And praise God for him.
Thank you for listening to today's message. 2 Corinthians 9:7 tells us that each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. If this message has been a blessing to you, we ask that you be a cheerful giver to this ministry by going to finallyalive.com/give. We'll meet you again next time as we grow together and learn to be finally alive in Christ.